From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 22nd day of October, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. In agricultural news, the president has signed a spending bill into law that increases funding for agricultural research, international food aid, and government conservation programs. A bill circulating on Capitol Hill would require ground beef to be tested for E. coli, and the Illinois FSA has announced an increase in the money available through its guaranteed loan program. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Also in this half hour, we'll hear a commentary from the Farm Bureau. It's about the FFA. Their national convention is this week in Indianapolis with a theme of Lead Out Loud. Hey, and at the end of this half hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast, and it all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.
On this Thursday afternoon, futures in Chicago finished the day like this. From the wheat pit today, December contract, a 551 3/4 settlement price, up 9 1/4. The March at 569 1/4, 9 cents higher. And the May futures at $5.80, up 8 3/4 cents. July contract, the harvest month for the soft red, at $5.88, up 8 cents. September at $5.95 3/4, 5 3/4 cents higher. December wheat in Kansas City, a 7 cent gain, to settle at $5.53. December corn futures today, 403 1/2. The settlement price up 5 1/4. The March at 414 3/4, up 4 3/4. And the May at 423 1/2, a nickel higher. July corn, 430 1/4, up 4 1/2 cents. September at 432 1/4, up 4. And next year's December for the 2010 contract at $4.35, finished 3 3/4 cents higher. December oats up 1 1/4 at 264 1/4. November beans today, $10.05 1/2, down 3. January at $10.07, down 2 3/4. The March at $10.06 3/4, down 1 1/4. And the May beans at $10 even, down 1 1/2. Next year's November 2010 contract at $9.88, finished 1 1/2 lower on the afternoon. And from the Mercantile Exchange, the numbers finished like this. In the nearby contracts, well, I don't have those Mercantile Exchange numbers at the moment, but I'll get them to you in just a bit. You are, of course, listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like on the afternoon. In the nearby contract for the natural gas, a finish at $4.96 1/10 cents, down 13 3/10 cents. Crude oil December contract settled $81.19, down 18 cents. November ethanol at $1.98 8/10, 7 1/10 cents higher. RBOB gasoline at 2 4 6/10 cents, that's $2.04 6/10, down just about 7 cents. The heating oil November contract, which is diesel fuel, 1 1/10 cents lower on the day at $2.09 4/10, and the propane futures at $1.02 1/10, up 2 1/10 cents. The Dow at 10,068 now stands just about 119 points higher. The dollar at 75.1 is up 0.13 on the afternoon. And the CRB index for the day at 282.27 is down 1.82 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like for Illinois and Indiana tonight. Cloudy, some widespread rain, heavy at times. Lows will range from 43 in far northwestern Illinois this evening to 60 in the far south. Tomorrow, cloudy, rain, highs ranging from 47 in far northwestern Illinois to 67 in the far southern parts of Indiana. The extended forecast says scattered showers will continue Friday into Saturday. On Saturday, the showers will be mostly across Indiana while winding down in Illinois. Rainfall today through Saturday morning will exceed 1 inch over the majority of Illinois and Indiana, and this will be a general soaker that hampers harvest operations in all sections. Dry weather expected on Sunday, but another round of widespread showers will quickly follow Sunday night and into Monday. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this hour and talk with Peter Levitt. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report and Illinois Public Media.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. On the line with us to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural markets is Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, Dan, let's talk about this marketplace, and maybe you can start with the corn. I know you had a pretty good discussion earlier today with Dave Dickey, who's the Director of Agricultural Programming, about where things might be headed. Can you give us an idea of what kind of range you have, top and bottom, for the corn market at this time?
Well, I can kind of give you the technical perspective of kind of what's happened to the market here over the past week or two, or since I think I talked to you last week. Last week, the corn market did kind of hit a critical retracement level, about 50% of the decline that we saw off of our June highs down to our early September low. The market did pause, have a little setback for a couple days, and then now yesterday we were able to plunge right into new high ground. So this type of action kind of sets the stages then for a move on up into the 420s. I've got a target about 429, but you got to keep in mind we are in somewhat of a weather market. We're in somewhat of a currency devaluation market, so those factors can change and maybe pull the rug out from underneath the corn bull. But at least at the moment, the corn bull kind of got his way here. It's harvest delays. The market is down to basically pipeline inventories. I mean, when you think about, we use a billion bushels of corn a month, and we really haven't got much harvested, and here it is. We're going to go into our last week of October, so that has a lot of vacuum underneath it. A lot of end users, livestock producers, whatnot, were betting that this 13 billion bushel corn crop was going to send prices down well underneath the $3 level, and here it is, last week of October, and they don't have anything bought, and the market's going higher.
Well, do you think that they need to buy up? Are you bullish enough to want to do that, or are you just waiting things out for the next shoe to fall?
Well, it's kind of an awkward position because I don't think this type of rally that we're having in the market is going to support the disappearance level that USDA issued here a couple weeks ago, because I think this type of rally is going to slow demand or cut demand, and I think ultimately what we'll see is reduced usage numbers as we go down the road. And whether or not we have this as big a crop or maybe a little bit bigger crop, we'll have to argue about that later and how much this delayed harvest goes. But I do think it sets the stages for some of the better selling opportunities, more so in the early part of the marketing year here rather than the later part of the marketing year. Now, whether or not that is November, December, or January, we'll have to kind of wait and see. But I do think this type of rally is going to choke demand, and we're going to end up with a larger carryover. And, you know, we're already thinking that we're going to see larger corn acres next year. So it does kind of lay the groundwork. It's bullish short-term. Longer-term, it could be quite bearish.
And on the soy side, how do you see that technical picture laying out?
Well, soybeans are still in the consolidation phase that we've kind of been into over the past 5 to 10 days or so. As you know, we've been harvesting a lot of beans. Most people are taking in record day inventories. Farmers are really going at it, going all night long if they can. So the bean market has had some hedge pressure come into it and kind of limited the price advance, but it is teed up, depending upon how things play out, too, to take another dollar up probably in the bean market, but we'll have to take one day at a time on that. But chart-wise, there's potential for that market to move higher also.
And what are you hearing out of South America? Will there be support there to increase by a dollar the price over time, or is this just a short-term cause of the lack of harvest, or what will be expected, I suppose, the lack of harvest once the rain starts to fall again?
Well, it's been a lack of harvest, dollar weakness, and beans still have excellent demand. I mean, you can still take a look at what our weekly export sales were. We almost sold 1 million tons of soybeans here last week, well above trade estimates, whereas corn, we had a dismal figure of less than 300,000 tons. So demand for soybeans and protein products is still very strong worldwide. What we're hearing out of South America is excellent so far. Everything is going real well. In Argentina, corn planting is moving nicely. I think they're upwards of maybe 60% planted. I think South American bean harvest or bean planting is in that 25% or better area. And all lights are pretty green for a nice crop out of there. But, you know, they got a long growing season ahead of us.
Well, what is it the producers should take away from this? I suppose many of them are thinking that, you know, we're approaching, what, 380, probably 390 on cash corn or thereabouts, depending on how tight they are in their particular region. They've got $10 in beans. Are they selling $4 and $10 beans into the marketplace? Do you think they should wait it out for just a bit, sell it across the scale and replace it? What are your ideas?
Well, the market doesn't offer you any carrying charges, so a legitimate hedger basically is telling a hedger to move the inventory into the marketplace because there's no carry to hedge in. So you're seeing that take place. I've always been in the camp that ownership in the form of calls or bull call spreads in this type of market might be the best way to go. There's a lot of uncertainty out of there, and I think somewhere here down the line we're going to see a spike up in long-term interest rates. I'm just waiting for that bond market to take a big nosedive to the downside, and I think that could be our next crisis, so to speak, in the marketplace, and who knows what that would do to commodities. So I've been in the camp to convert inventory to cash, but maintain price ownership in the form of call options or bull call spreads, just to kind of be on board if the dollar would go into a meltdown and we'd have a major devaluation of currency, and or we get ourselves in a South American weather market. So it's kind of difficult to put this stuff in the bin. I do know farmers are doing that, but they're also selling too. They've got some big bills due. I think crop insurance bill comes due here about November 1, and I think there's like a 15% penalty or interest penalty on that. So we're seeing some farmers take advantage of these better prices.
Now, I've heard you say this before, that sometimes farmers are in love with their silver or their bins, and if they put the crop away, that they hate to take it out of that bin. What's your suggestion for those who are going to store some of their crop? And there will be many folks that store a lot of crop.
And there's nothing wrong with that. The marketplace cannot absorb it all, especially this year. I mean, it's not going to be too long. I mean, most elevators just don't have the drying capacity to stay ahead of this harvest. So most elevators are going to be shutting down at noon. So we're going to be working half days until we get this crop dried down.
Yeah, I suppose that's not what I meant, was that they, not that you think that they're in love with their bin, but once they put that in the bin, how long should they expect to hang on to it, I think, is really the question I'm asking.
Well, I think it's a matter of managing it. I mean, there are marketing tools that can be managed with puts and hedges. They can be moved into the marketplace, whatnot. I guess, you know, it depends upon their individual perspective and who they are following, I guess, as somewhat of a market consultant or market advisor. But, you know, they also have to worry about the quality problems. But I guess I'm kind of in the camp that if we're going to rally this strong this early in the marketing year, one is going to have to kind of be prepared to maybe move a higher percentage of that inventory into the marketplace maybe during the first half of the marketing year, more so than hanging on to inventory as we get toward the last half of the marketing year.
Dan, thanks so much.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Thursday afternoon. Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take us through all the agricultural news for the day.
In agricultural news, President Barack Obama yesterday signed into law the fiscal year 2010 spending bill for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The $121 billion law, approved last week by the Senate and House of Representatives, increases funding for agricultural research, international food aid, and government conservation programs. And it grants $350 million in emergency aid to dairy farmers who are facing a price-depressing glut of milk. Of the $350 million, $60 million is to be used for purchasing cheese and other dairy products for food banks and nutrition programs. The remainder is for providing direct support to dairy producers. Senate Agriculture Committee member Kristen Gillibrand has introduced legislation that would mandate that companies conduct E. coli inspections of ground beef. The bill would require all plants that process ground beef to test their products regularly before it is ground and again before it is combined with other beef or ingredients, such as spices and packaged. If ground beef is found to be contaminated, the bill would require the company to dispose of the contaminated batch or cook it to a temperature that destroys the E. coli bacteria. Illinois' Farm Service Agency today says that the loan limit for its guaranteed loan program has been increased to $1,112,000 effective October 1st. The guaranteed loan program allows commercial and farm credit lenders to extend credit to qualified applicants who otherwise would not meet their standard lending criteria. Bankrupt U.S. chicken producer Pilgrim's Pride reported a $56.71 million profit for the fiscal fourth quarter ending September 26th. Revenue for the quarter was $1.63 billion. And oilseed processor Bunge reported a slight decline in third quarter earnings and cut its full year forecast today amid a weak market for its fertilizer. Net profit fell to $232 million or $1.62 per share from $234 million or $1.70 per share a year earlier. Revenue dropped 24% to $11.3 billion. The company cut its full-year earnings forecast to a range of $3.10 to $3.50 per share due to a weaker-than-anticipated near-term fertilizer outlook. It previously had expected $4.90 to $5.40 per share. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. I host the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, both programs and other ag programming that you can capture anytime you'd like right on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Rebecca King in Galesburg at 309-341-5007. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Now up next, today's listener opinion form with Shelby County Farm Bureau's Amy Rochkiss.
Lead Out Loud is the theme for the 2009 National FFA Convention being held this week in Indianapolis, Indiana. Over 50,000 blue corduroy jackets will converge on Conseco Fieldhouse for many amazing events, including opening ceremonies, national officer retiring addresses, award presentations, luncheons and dinners, FSA band and chorus and talent programs, and guest speakers. All of these events make the National FFA Convention an experience of a lifetime. The Future Farmers of America was founded in 1928. It brought together students, teachers, and agribusinesses to solidify support for agricultural education. In Kansas City's Baltimore Hotel, 33 young farm boys charted a course for the future. They could not have foreseen how the organization would grow and thrive. In 1988, Future Farmers of America changed its name to the National FFA Organization to reflect the expanding career field of agricultural education. FFA is expanding the nation's view of traditional agriculture and finding new ways to infuse agriculture into the classroom. It has opened its doors and its arms to minorities and women, ensuring that all students could reap the benefits of agricultural education. Today, there are 7,439 FFA chapters in all 50 United States, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands, totaling 507,763 FFA members. The National FFA Organization remains committed to the individual student, providing a path to achievement in premier leadership, personal growth, and career success through agricultural education. Millions of agricultural students, no one exactly knows how many, have donned the official FFA jacket and championed the FFA creed written by E.M. Tiffany and adopted at the third national convention of the FFA. That creed begins by saying, "I believe in the future of agriculture," and many of us believe in the future of agriculture and the future of our young people that will be our leaders. Congratulations to all the Illinois FFA chapters and members who will be recognized during the National FFA Annual Meeting. All of these fine young people are leading out loud. This is Amy Rochkus with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochkus's comments are her own and reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, just give us a call. The number is 217-333-9697. Hey, speaking of the FFA, my wife and my daughter are there this week for the convention. Last night, I got a message by text from Conseco Fieldhouse from one of their two phones. Don't really know which one it came from because sometimes they swap, and it simply said, "We're in the second row of the Toby Keith concert, center stage." Well, I was jealous, and pretty shortly after that, an awfully excited message that said, "And we're standing next to Mike Rowe." You know, Mike Rowe of Dirty Jobs on television. Well, at that point, I knew they were pretty excited, and I wrote back and said, "Hey, tell him I want his job and have him give me a call so we can talk about the FFA. Here's a cell phone number." And I looked down at that text message and decided not to send it. Mike's a lot better looking than I am, and I had no idea whether he was standing next to my daughter or my wife. And at that point, I didn't care. Oh, anyway, I talked to Claire Annie this morning. She said that his wife was there too, so I was safe. Hey, speaking of safe, we'll talk about the agricultural weather and the fact that you need to stay safe right out there on the farm this week and all during the harvest season. And if you're out on the back roads, be sure to keep a watch out for those great big tractors and combines. They move slow, and you need to pay attention to them. In just about 2 minutes, meteorologist Peter Levitt will be here. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. The Champaign-Urbana area unemployment rate slid a bit in September. State figures show an 8.3% jobless rate for the area compared to 8.6% in August. Most other adjacent counties to Champaign saw slight decreases in unemployment, though Iroquois and Douglas County jobless rates went up slightly. In the past 12 months, Champaign County has lost about 1,000 jobs, and the jobless rate is still nearly 3 points higher than at this time in 2008. The statewide unemployment rate also jumped to 10.5% in September. A University of Illinois law professor says there's good business sense behind a proposal to combine Carle Foundation Hospital and the Carle Clinic Association. Carle wants regulators to allow the not-for-profit hospital to buy the for-profit clinic for $250 million. John Colombo says Carle Clinic's member physicians who own the facility will have to decide whether to lose some autonomy to become Carle Hospital employees. But Colombo also says they'd help build a very stable health care structure similar to what larger firms like Mayo Clinic have, where doctors are employed by the facility and not independent contractors. Champaign's Safe Haven homeless community appears to be moving again, but to a site where its residents can remain through the winter. Cleanup will start this weekend on 17 rooms at Restoration Urban Ministries. An agreement between those groups and Empty Tomb will collect donations for volunteers to repair those rooms. Executive Vice President Sylvia Ronsvale says about 3 weeks of work are needed to bring them up to code. The residents of Safe Haven were forced to leave tents behind Champaign's Catholic Worker House over the summer because of a zoning violation. They're currently staying at the Parsonage Center at St. Mary Catholic Church. Officials say Interstate 465 on the northeast side of Indianapolis could be closed for weeks after a liquid propane tanker explosion damaged a bridge. The tanker's driver suffered injuries that didn't appear to be life-threatening. The driver of a vehicle that was behind the truck when it exploded was taken to a hospital with severe burns. The explosion happened after the semi rolled on a ramp from I-69 to I-465 this morning. I-69 reopened after 2 hours, but State Police Sergeant Anthony Emery says a pillar to the I-465 overpass was knocked over and two steel girders were damaged. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Thursday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural weather forecast for the day. On the line with us this afternoon, Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist. Good afternoon to you, Peter.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, you're glad you're a little better this week than you were last week. We missed you. It was a big week, actually, to miss you because there was quite a bit of rainfall. But don't worry, it looks like you've got lots of weather to tell us about again this week.
Oh, yes. There's really no end to this general pattern of rain. Right now, of course, there's some moderate rain coming across Iowa and into western and southern Illinois. That will move across the state late today and tonight as a little low-pressure disturbance comes out of western Missouri and then up across Illinois, and the eastern Corn Belt is going to get it in the next 24 hours. And it looks like it's probably worth 1 to 2 inches of rain in that range through almost all of Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, eastern Iowa will get a piece of it before it clears out from west to east on late tonight and Saturday.
And then after that?
After that, we get two decent days. Saturday, probably not so bad. Sunday, the best day, but cooler weather in there, but nothing very cold. Temperatures in the upper 50s or thereabouts. And then it starts all over again on Monday. We start to cloud up, get some showers in Monday night. Tuesday, Wednesday look like another wet episode, just like we've seen. And then yet a third wet episode is on tap for the following weekend. So no way is it going to dry out across the Midwest during the next 7 to 10 days.
Wow. We've talked about this phenomenon called persistence, I think, about 3 or 4 times over the last 3 years. In your memory, does it seem as if weather patterns have become more persistent than they had at earlier times in the last decade and a half or 2 decades?
I think that's right. I think we've seen a little bit more persistence with this particular pattern that we're in. And, of course, persistence when it's good weather, people don't recognize as being a phenomena. But when it's bad weather like this, you know, we used to say in the summer, if you start out with a rainy weekend, every weekend golfer knows that he's got a problem the rest of the summer because there's about a 7-day cycle on weather in the weekend. And this time we've got a twice-a-week cycle of precipitation. And I don't know what's going to happen with the harvest, but I've never seen those numbers so far behind, especially right there in Illinois. According to last weekend's numbers, Monday's numbers, 57% behind on the corn harvest, and that's phenomenal. And they're just not going to get anything done in the next week or two. And the ground gets wetter, it gets harder to do anything, and probably we're going to have to wait for the ground to harden, not from dryness, but from getting cold and frozen weather. So the crop is still out there, but the quality is what the big problem is going to be with the corn crop when they finally get it this year.
Pete, thanks much for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media each and every Thursday afternoon. You have a good day and stay safe out on the farm.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Learned Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.